Hey there, this is Jesse Scardina, news writer for SearchCRM.com. I'm here with my executive editor, Don Fluckinger. He just got back this week from a conference in Las Vegas. He went to PegaWorld. How was your time in Vegas, Don?
Hey, Jesse, great to be here. Actually, my time in Vegas, my body has not yet adjusted to the time zone switch. I don't know why. Maybe it's because I am ye old ancient reporter or something, but every time I go west and I come back, it seems to take longer to recover from the lag in time.
Yeah.
But other than that, it was great.
I'd say you're not alone there. As our listeners know, I was in Vegas a couple weeks earlier at Serious Decisions Summit. It was our first inaugural pipeline podcast we did. And I think now I've just finally recovered from my time in Vegas about 2 weeks later. So it's definitely, it lingers. And hopefully your wallet survived a little bit better than mine did out there as well. But we'll get right into the conference coverage. What were some of the overall themes that you heard about at PegaWorld? What were some of the discussions and topics that were broached?
Well, I would say that AI was probably the most discussed thing, as it is at all CRM shows nowadays, because vendors are competing with each other on what AI features can be used, you know, to supplement the other things going on in the CRM, you know, better lead scoring, better personalization.
More insights.
Trying to figure out when that upsell can happen.
Yeah.
Trying to figure out when a customer is getting turned off by too much contact. And also just sharpening your pitch to smaller and smaller groups, so you're not making these massive blanket digital ad buys, and more strategically using your marketing approaches to customers who actually want to hear from you, as opposed to, you know, everybody in the world,
yeah.
Right? So
you mentioned, you know, it's definitely the topic at pretty much every CRM conference. I can attest to that as well. We were just at a daily conference a couple weeks ago here in Boston, where Salesforce definitely touted their AI infrastructure. Am I correct in saying that was also brought up at the PegaWorld conference? It was a little bit of just gauge the temperature of the keynote. What was discussed? What was the reaction?
Well, that's very interesting. I mean, that's a very leading question because as anybody who read the story I filed from the first day of PegaWorld, CEO Alan Treffler comes out and proclaims Salesforce implementation of AI. And actually not necessarily the implementation, but sort of
the promise.
Mark Benioff's talking about the various uses of Einstein AI in Salesforce as bullshit. And he admonished the 4,000 attendees to be very cynical in listening to hype behind AI and trusting it to do too much. Mm-hmm. He was advocating for the more judicious use of it in CRM, because it's not a panacea that's going to cure all your ills and magically make your company more profitable. But he comes out and he says, I see bullshit, when he's talking about Einstein AI, which, of course, the whole hall, 4,000 people, half of them giggled.
Yep.
And then half of them went, huh? Did he just say that? So I knew that at that point, that was going to be very high up in my news story about it. And Treffler happened to be sitting right across the aisle from me. And there weren't a lot of PR handlers around him.
That's
which,
nice.
I mean, like I say, billion-dollar revenue company. Sometimes there's some beef around the CEO,
yes,
after their keynote. But in this case, he was quite accessible. So I went up to him and introduced myself. Hi, I'm Don. I write the news for Search CRM. I'm writing a story about your keynote, and I want to add that quote about you seeing bullshit.
And he seemed okay with that. He didn't mince words, and he didn't take it back. And you mentioned the reaction in the audience in real time there at the keynote. Over the rest of the conference, Did you talk to attendees about the keynote, and did they share Alan's perspective, or did they see it as a competitor trying to fight up a weight class with Salesforce?
Well, the audience, of course, attendees were Pega users.
Yeah.
So what they're trying to do is squeeze more revenue, more return on investment out of their Pega investment, look at new ways to implement the technology. And I think a lot of people use Pega over Salesforce mm-hmm. because, you know, they are sort of BPM, business process companies to begin with, you know, and they're large companies. There probably is a way to use Pega systems offerings if you are a mid-market or a small company. I didn't see many there. Mm-hmm. And some of the analysts I talked to say that they could come out with a more simplified offering that would be more useful
sure.
for mid-market companies. And really, the customer case studies they had were very large international companies. You know, the Sprints.
Yeah.
Coca-Cola was there. Transavia, an airline in Europe, sort of the Southwest Airlines
yeah.
of Europe, except much smaller. GM. These are the kind of companies that were demonstrating new and novel uses of Pega systems on top of their systems already. So if they're there and they're not on Salesforce, or they're using it to augment a Salesforce implementation for service, for example, they've already drank the Pega systems Kool-Aid. So as you can imagine, when Alan Treffler is ripping on Salesforce, and he also gave Oracle a dose of it too, everybody's like, yeah, you know. So there was much more awe than shock, I
yes.
guess I would say.
And we've spoken offline a couple times about Pega systems and this, you know, idea that they're a small company, a scrappy startup in the CRM space trying to compete against a much larger enterprise-sized Salesforce. But you mentioned it right there. They are a billion-dollar company already. Do you see that being because of their clientele, because of their mostly enterprise customers, and that's kind of how they built up their revenue this quickly?
I would say that's probably a good chunk of the story, but remember, they might be a billion-dollar company, but Salesforce, if they hit their sales targets this year, are $20 billion, so they still have a ways to go.
Yeah.
But there's definitely some of that scrappy, sort of East Coast, in-your-face attitude that they have that
yeah.
some of the other companies that we talk to regularly, not just Salesforce, but they definitely have some fight in them that you don't see in other companies. So, you know, at least on their public face.
Yeah.
I mean, all behind the scenes, they're all ready to go head-to-head with their competitors.
Sure.
It's just, what do they say when they're in public? And Pega Systems was quite forward, you know, quite mm-hmm. in your face, which, you know, in this day and age is kind of refreshing, especially when we talk about marketing and spin and like every customer of all of these CRM and marketing automation companies, technology companies, are all about the spin
mm-hmm.
and they're all about positivity and they're all about yay woo help
how
you
we're
know.
Changing the world
oh yeah. my gosh. And to hear somebody come out and just, you know, do the age-old tradition of ripping on your competitors
yeah.
from the stage at your user conference in front of thousands of people, you know.
That's refreshing.
I kind of like that.
Yeah. Now, the keynote is obviously a main point of each conference, but it is just an hour and a half of several days of coverage. So what were some of the other conversations you had, some of the other sessions you saw, some of the interesting people you spoke with?
Well, so it was very interesting to see demos of things like Coca-Cola has a group called Innovation and Emerging Technologies that's sort of working on how to use IoT-connected Coke machines to message people who have the app on their smartphone. So when they come within the proximity of an IoT-connected Coke machine, their app will say, hey, you have a Coke machine. It will know it's lunchtime, so maybe you don't want orange juice. You might be looking for a Diet Coke, maybe looking at your buying trends over the last 10 days and remind you that you can do that. And it was amazing because you would just say yes to the app, and because you'd entered your credit card data or whatever before, the Coke machine would, the big arm would come out and pull the drink out and dispense it as you were passing by. And that's a new way of sort of mixing up all this AI and IoT. And
so that's like a consumer-facing way that they're using using Pegasystems, Coca-Cola is?
Right, to manage the customer relationship, to sell more beverages.
Coca-Cola is an interesting customer there, because I remember at, I believe it was at Dreamforce last year in San Francisco. Obviously, Salesforce's marquee conference. Coca-Cola was also there as a customer, too, talking about how Einstein is helping with Internet of Things and helping on the supply side as far as helping a place that has a Coke machine help fill it and help the supply chain move along. So it's interesting that, as you just mentioned, they might be one of those customers that is using Salesforce but also augmenting it with Pegasystems.
So that did not escape the notice of some of the analysts. We had a customer roundtable, and Kushala Silva, the group director of this Innovation and Emerging Technologies group, we all had a chance to ask several customers follow-up questions from their presentations. And one of the analysts said, "Hey, didn't I see you at Salesforce doing something?" And to his credit, Silva said, "You know, Coca-Cola is a very large company, and we have many, many divisions. Some of them use Salesforce, but also the bottlers are independent companies."
Yeah.
And so many of our bottlers around the world use Salesforce for CRM for their customers where they deliver the Coca-Cola products. So, of course, we use a mix of, and then he ripped off a list of 20 vendors. Of course, I can only remember Salesforce and Pegasystems right now, but I thought that was a very good answer, and I really liked the way the analyst sort of put him on the hot seat. That was another moment where the group of journalists and analysts there went, "Woo, yeah, yeah, let's hear a little bit more about this, Mr. Silva." But he was good.
It's good. And you sort of brought it up here already, but the attendees, were most in attendance Pegasystems customers?
Yeah, the ones that I met. And I'm sure there were some customers of other CRM vendors thinking about a change. But for the most part, you know, the people I sat with at breakfast or ran into in sessions or sat next to, they were there because it was Pega and they wanted to learn the newest news and the latest applications of Pega. They were hoping to bring back some interesting ideas to step up their Pega game, or maybe they had a integration problem they wanted to have somebody answer who was outside their organization. Or in some cases, they were looking to meet sort of partners or consultants to help them solve an issue that they were unable to solve themselves.
Mm-hmm. To just sort of wrap this up here, what are some of the other takeaways that you you brought back with you to the East Coast from your time at PegaWorld?
Well, and I'll be writing a story about this either late this week or next week.
Where will that be?
Searchcrm.com.
Shameless plug.
There were a couple presentations as well as media and analyst Q&A with Alan Treffler, the Pega CEO. And there were some very interesting discussions about the ethical considerations of AI. I mean, how can you apply it to, say, banking CRM to make the loan process more efficient, yet your AI doesn't do something like discriminate against people who live in certain neighborhoods or of certain races or of certain things that it's just illegal to deny somebody a loan if you're in this group, and your AI may use the wrong criteria and suddenly you have this pattern of discrimination that you did not even plan on doing, and that goes against your corporate mission statement. So,
and we've seen examples of that previously with AI trying to use image recognition technology, and it just comes up with these underlying racist tones that wasn't meant to, that the software wasn't meant to do. That, you know, I'd imagine there are certain industries that really want that figured out before they invest in it.
Yeah, so they talked about that, and they had some other sort of science fiction-y things, like they showed four paintings. Three of them were done by Rembrandt, and one of them was done by AI. Can you pick the right one? And, of course, we all acknowledge that none of us were art critics sitting in the MGM arena ballroom, right, listening to the techno music with the DJ bumping and all that stuff. But we listened to some symphonies composed by AI. So there's a little bit of science fiction aspect going on, just showing the potential for AI, which when I saw them, I thought, So the CEO calls Mark Benioff out when he just sort of fantasizes about the future of AI and calls that BS. But yet, have four paintings that look virtually alike on the giant screen. Pick out the one that the AI did, and let's all go, wow.
Exactly.
And
of course, the question there is, what's the use of that for a customer? And I've seen similar examples of, I was at a Microsoft conference where they showed their computing power of being able to transcribe every Wikipedia page in existence in 7 seconds. But what's the point? And I think a lot of those analogies, the point gets lost.
Well, we'll talk about more of that in the story I post in the very near future, because I thought, while our discussion with Alan got sort of spun out into the potential of 5 or 10 years down the line, he actually focused everybody back to real CRM uses for AI. And I think that was part of what he was trying to get at with the BS aspect of it. We get caught up in the hype. We see what AI can do. But what we're doing really is CRM, and we want some little wins to boost our revenue, to help us reach our customers better, and to create efficiencies in our organizations so that humans can continually improve our pitch to the customer. So I thought Alan was very good at that, and we'll get into some of those things in the story, right?
Well, we look forward to reading the story. It'll be on searchcrm.com, and I'm sure AI will be a topic that we touch on greatly here on the Pipeline Podcast.
Thank you very much, Jesse.
Thanks, Don.